ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bonjour. I was going to start the show now, but John Boehner told me I should wait a day, so maybe I will. Hi! 6 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I feel a white, hot sexual chemistry just in my peripheral vision.
What?
Live in the studio.
Carl.
Wow. Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com. Carl Frisch,
I brought several
dishes to pass. What have you brought this morning? I'm doing the going out of town for a week, clearing the refrigerator and making it look like hospitality.
Photo of it all on Twitter.
It's leftover Greek party food.
Yeah.
You know, fruit, a few little things from the bottom of the fridge.
Your party was Saturday. These are 5 days old.
Yes,
oh,
they're fine.
Okay.
They're fine, everybody. Eat
Nuke
up.
It. Yeah.
All right. And there'll be pot roast in the fridge. John Fugelsang, Uncle John Fugelsang will be babysitting you. Everybody be good.
Yep.
Good night, everybody. Oh, do I have to do the rest of the show?
And their
I'm going to France today after
their
the show.
There are ice cream sandwiches in the freezer
yes.
if you're really good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Be good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So I'm excited.
Have I
packed yet? No.
Computer says no.
No, I'm sticking with my tradition, Chris.
Yeah.
I've packed so far like one earring and a flipper for a bike trip in France. I'm not sure if there is anything else I'll need.
That was my favorite punk band in the 80s.
One earring and a flipper.
Yeah. Me too. That's why. All right. Kids. Oh, looky. I've got some love letters.
Oh.
I have been saving my shekels, Carl Frisch, for this trip, you know, because it's for my 50th birthday, which is later in September. But I'm doing it. I'm going to go on a drunken bike trip.
Sure.
And Nan says, happy early birthday. Steph wanted to wish you a happy birthday before you head to the soon-to-be even gayer Paris. Yeah, it's going to be a really gay Paris.
Yeah.
When I'm
You're
there.
You're going to be gay and French.
And liberal.
Socialist.
Yeah, and socialist.
Take that, Bill O'Reilly.
Why don't you take advantage of the cheap meds while you're there?
Even the prime minister's
my brother
name
actually,
sexual.
Yeah.
Actually, my brother wrote me, and my Republican brother said have a good time in France with those sissy socialists, I believe. Called him.
Great.
I too turned 50 this year. Just days before my milestone, I was messing around in my yard. I went to hit a pine cone with a stick. I don't really know why. Swung too hard, fell and broke my wrist in two places. Good job. Good job. This is what happens.
I fall and I can't
yes.
get up.
Well, you know, I already broke my foot. What was I doing, Chris? Going to get Gatorade in the middle of the night and I missed a step.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you're elderly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also you bash your eyeball out.
Yeah.
On your
fireplace. Why would you be trying to hit at 50 years old, try to hit a pine cone with a stick, I wonder.
Because you can.
Relive your youth.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that didn't end well for
no.
her. Point being, don't drink too much and ride. Have a great birthday. I look forward to my third sexy liberal show in Asheville, North Carolina. Ha! And I know three shows make sound kind of groupies. No.
Computer says no.
Sounds like ka-ching ka-ching for mama.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm. But I look at it as being an enthusiastic fan. I do too, Nan. They're step heads. Perth, that'll be our third time because it's different in every city.
Are they making like brownies and
do they drop acid in
the
parking lot?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Nan. But
if
people
she
do.
Says
they
anything
because
about
it's,
dragons.
It's topical. You know? It's local to some degree. We do panel. It's always different. So we do. We have little step heads traveling around the country.
Yeah.
Let's play a promo. You pick one. Asheville somewhere.
We could do Asheville. Let's
sure.
do Asheville.
Asheville comes
North
up
Carolina. Get ready for your second dose of sexy liberal. Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium, the Sexy Liberal Show comes to Asheville.
Oh, this I gotta see.
Down in Asheville.
Join Stephanie Miller.
See, got Snoop again.
John Fugelsang.
You're funny, all right. You're a scream.
And Hal Sparks.
One joke crack.
Saturday, September 24th. Get your sexy on in Asheville.
You don't want to concern yourself with government business.
Come and laugh with Steph, John, and Hal and meet other sexy liberals.
I hope you're out of jail in time to vote.
Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com for the Sexy Liberal Show starring Stephanie Miller.
Boy, you're funny, you are. You ought to go on the radio and be an all-night disc jockey.
From Klingman's Dome to the Blue Ridge Parkway, don't miss your last chance to get your sexy on this year, North Carolina, with the Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium in Asheville.
Yeah, there you go. All right. And by the way, sexyliberal.com. Facebook.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, because the first one up is actually September 17th, a special Sexy Liberal show to benefit the Clinton County Democratic Party. That's September 17th in East Lansing, and then Seattle is my big birthday weekend, September 30th, October 1st.
Do you turn 50 in Seattle?
No, September 29th.
Oh, okay.
And then the next day. So I'm making the whole month.
So it's great. So you're going to celebrate your 50th birthday. Lots of rain, dark clouds.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Good coffee.
The first half century has been like that, and pretty much the second half looks to be an even bigger downward spiral. Thank you, Carl Fritsch, for pointing that out. Thank you.
Hey, you know, if the Republicans win, though, no Social Security, no Medicare.
No,
it's going to be awesome.
Even worse. Thank you.
Wow. You got a bleak future ahead of you, don't you?
Well, it can't be any worse than the first half century.
Coming up next, we'll be talking to somebody from FEMA and...
I don't know. Could the Republicans be bigger? Really? Could they be bigger? Six than they already are? I mean, seriously, what a bunch of douche canoes! I mean, are you kidding me? Not just the debt ceiling. Now we're going to hold disaster relief hostage to budget cuts, and now you have to play who's... is bigger with the president. You can't give your speech. We have another debate.
I agree with Boehner. Can I just break some news here?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. Let me break some. Go ahead.
My favorite reality show of the season is Republican Survivor. And the fact that this president wanted to preempt the Republican debate.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we supposed to get by with our week if we don't get to see Michelle Bachmann say something like, you know, the Nazis freed the Indians from apartheid.
Yes. Yes.
Rick Perry advocating the secession of Florida.
Yes.
I mean, this is what I live for. And for the president to step in front of that and me, I mean, I don't have to watch The Real Housewives when I've got this going on.
Seriously, Rush Limbaugh runs the Republican Party. I remember, I'm thinking yesterday, I'm listening to him. They got to put this guy in his place.
No real president would have done this.
Oh, God, please. Yeah. I mean, really? You know, and of course, the president proving once again,
he's a bit of a weenie.
Obviously is a lot bigger. No, I think his is bigger.
Some people think he's a weenie for giving in.
It's not giving in. It's like, who cares
I'm just reporting what some people think.
Well, I don't care what some people think. Well, thank you, Fox News. Thank you, Brian Kilmeade.
Well,
what's he gonna do?
Ed Schultz went off on the president last night.
Oh, I know he did.
Bill
I know
Press
he
went
did.
Off on the president
oh,
this
he
morning.
Caved, Bob. Who cares? It's like he's trying to solve like the bigger problems in the country.
He could have sat in front of the Congress, you know, on the 7th and just sat there until they let him in.
Yeah. It is part of the, to me, historic disrespect shown to this president. It really, it's like, oh, you know, you lie, show us your birth certificate. No, we're not going to give you a joint session of Congress. And it's like, he just keeps trying to do his job and put out a jobs program.
Well,
I know,
in fairness to the speaker, he did say, if you'd like to speak, you can speak someplace separate. It'll
which is
equal.
Nice. That was very nice.
It'll be equal,
separate, but equal.
It'll be separate.
See what Carl Fritsch did there?
I see what he did there.
You see what he did there?
Yeah.
I'm not calling them racist. I'm just saying their political philosophy might be a tinge racy. It's just
dogs somewhere are going, I heard that. See, that was a dog whistle joke. It wasn't as good as yours.
It was good, though.
But it was like a little sister tag-along joke. Like, look, Carl, I can do one, too. Okay.
Although you're the big sister because you're much older.
Shut up.
What?
I can still hear dog
whistles.
I can't
believe this is the first time I've ever told the truth on the air about my age. Normally, I go like a decade younger.
Yeah, that's not working anymore.
Yikes. That's how you know you're really old, like giving up the ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, can I have some nostalgia music?
Okay.
This actually made me feel better about my age. Because, you know, I don't understand how to work any of the newfangled technical things that the kids do.
Like the 8-track?
I still don't know how to get the songs in my...
You didn't get an iPad yesterday,
no,
did you?
No, my iPod thing, because you have to come show me again. Anyway... So my friends have begged me, because, you know, I have Sinatra music on, like, 24/7 in my house.
Yeah.
And they finally left. They're like, we can't. I got to stick something in my eye. Stop playing that old music.
What did
and
you
so
do?
My friend wanted to be able to use her iPod, which she has millions and billions of songs in there.
Yeah.
When people were over last weekend. So I had to get my stereo guy to come, because I don't know how to work that on stereo system.
There are instructions.
It wasn't working.
There are instructions.
Because I don't ever use the iPod. I just put on the Seriously Sinatra, and Mama's fine.
Your stereo guy put, like...
How Sparks wanted to poke his eyes out when he was in my house. He was like, oh, is this the only...
Yeah. How Sparks with his heavy metal.
I do have the latest Wizard.
Wizard! Yeah, well...
Excellent!
Okay, so anyway, so he came and hooked it up. But he did tell me, he said the sound on CDs is better because what you pay to you know, to get all those songs in the iPod, you lose in sound quality. He said it's not really made for a house stereo system.
Well,
he says the sound in CDs is still better.
You can choose the sound quality of your MP3s. You can make them better than CD quality.
What?
And then you just have less room on your iPod.
Well, yeah, you have less room on your iPod.
Well, that's what he was saying. What you pay to, you know, to get all of the songs in there, you lose in sound quality. And he said, you know, just tell your friends the CDs are better sound quality. You can use the iPod. It's just because he's an audiophile.
You're
and
not,
I'm
though.
Just saying,
you're not an audiophile. You can have 192.
My 45 sounded fine. There was no reason.
You can have 192 bit rate and you'll be fine. You won't be able to tell the difference.
Newfangled iPods. All right. All right, I'm done with my crotchety story.
I just picture, like, this old-timey voice singing in your place while you're, like, tidying up after party, like, come on,
tootling around the
while I'm dusting my glass figurines.
We'll have a good time today. She is totally like Norma Desmond. Big, rambling house.
I love my Hummels.
I'll be upstairs with the dead monkey. You all have fun.
You had a dead monkey funeral last weekend. That's what all this leftover food is from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eat up. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I have a Stephanie Miller listener love story when we return. 17 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch live in studio all 3 hours with us. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
And lots to get to. Your thoughts and ours on the president's big speech as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things with you. Okay.
Okay. This hour brought to you by Napa. Napa know-how. That's right. It's the auto parts, not the wine. Don't drink your auto parts. It's the good stuff. Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies is here live in studio with us all 3 hours. Hello, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
What are you doing in Los Angeles?
I'm on vacation.
Yay!
Yay! Whee! Breathe in our air, won't you? It's vacation air.
I had
air.
Some for breakfast.
It's chunky. all right. Oh, I have to do a, you know what? I have to do a love letter because it's Carl Frisch, of course, part of the magical loving circle that is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're helpers.
Yes.
For instance, well, actually we're helpers because I tend to be an idiot. So Denise is one of the village that is raising this idiot because I left my driver's license at the Detroit airport for the last Sexy Liberal Show, and I did not realize that until I got a letter from the Department of Homeland Security. And as I'm leaving for France today, apparently identification is required, so I would have been scot-rude if it were not for Denise and her friend Mark, who were at the Sexy Liberal Show in Detroit. She FedExed me my license. But let me explain how this happened. Let me explain, first of all, what a moron I am and how I basically need my listeners to survive. She works at the airport in Detroit. She heard it on the air.
Right.
Her friend Mark, who's my fan, texted her and said, go get her license. She did, and called Rebecca, and we thought it was a joke, and it wasn't. And then she FedExed it back to me, and so I have my license now. And she wrote, she sent a letter with my license.
Aw.
Steph, my good friend Mark loves talk radio, especially your show, so when the Sexy Liberal Tour went on sale, he was first online, and because he knows I'm a complete comedy whore, he thought of me as a date. On the way to the show, he was talking to me about how he really wanted to buy the meet and greet tickets, but he was under the impression rows A, B, B, whatever, where the meet and greet rows were farther back than row B, which we were in. He was bummed when we got there and saw how it was arranged, so he didn't get to meet me. Anyway, when he was listening to the show yesterday, he heard you had lost your ID. He texted me to go find it, which he did. I see you're coming back to Michigan September 17th. Would you consider copping us a couple of meet and greet tickets? To which I said,
yeah.
And of Roland hooked her up yesterday.
Nice!
And so, that's part of the love story that is Stephanie Miller.
Basically, the message is, if you go to one of the Sexy Liberal stops,
yes.
Stick around afterwards.
Stick around.
Look for driver's licenses.
I will drunkenly lose my ID somewhere. You will be able to return it and then probably score some tickets
library,
to the next Sexy
Library cards only get you in the door, though.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
Mark's going to get a little sugar for that whole story.
Oh, really?
It's like a nation. I have a magical nation of like John Belushi handlers. They're all my handlers and take care of Mama when she screws up.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, thank you.
Good.
I just, come on, that's kind of an amazing story. What are the chances?
I do that here in Los Angeles. Well, I keep you propped up.
Yeah, that's your job, is to pull me off the heating grate.
Yeah.
Pull my hair out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Prop me up in the chair.
That's what I do every morning.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, obviously, the... the big story. You know what? I'm not going on vacation, not a moment too soon, Carl. I can't take any more of these right-wing douche nozzles. And people on the left that have to make this about who's is bigger all the time. You know, it's like... So the president... And again, once again, never happened before in history, right, that the president has asked Congress for a joint session to deliver a major job speech, because we're kind of in a pickle. Jobs-wise. And so, because Rush Limbaugh told John Boehner to say no, he said no to the president because they're stupid. And by the way, somebody was saying, how many of these stupid Republican debates are there going to be? They could have moved it back an hour. They
30,
could've, I mean,
40. Mm-hmm. Well, let's be honest. This debate that they're having that there's a problem over was actually scheduled for May.
Yeah.
So it's really not the most pressing thing. If it was that pressing, it would have happened in May.
Yeah. This is the president of the United States. By the way, the key word in there, united, it's all of us
united.
In this United States. Yes. Yes.
But you hear the right-wingers on television talking, it's your president, you know.
Yeah.
It's not our president anymore.
Or if you're Pat Buchanan, your boy.
Right.
As he said to Al Sharpton shortly before his head exploded.
That's certainly how a lot of them act. I mean, at the end of the day, I understand Boehner's reticence. I mean, he has a tanning appointment that afternoon.
Yes. Did he really try that bull? That, oh, it's too late to have it because we're just back in
security
session that day.
And
also, yes, you know, there's not time to do a security sweep because we couldn't possibly. It's like, are you kidding me?
Parliamentary maneuver.
Stupid debate is on then, you know?
Yeah.
Vague.
Isn't the Capitol one of the most secure buildings in,
yeah.
in D.C.?
Yeah.
Does it really take 3 hours to sweep that one chamber?
I mean, what a load of crap. Seriously. But, you know, just, again, more disrespect to the president. And, you know, but to me, the president just, he reminds me actually of Clinton sometimes. Like, Clinton just seemed like he had like 1,000 tacklers on him, and he just like, I'm just going to keep going. And, you know, he's going forward with his speech. But, you know, like, it makes a huge difference what day, I suppose. So he's the bigger man again.
What do you say to your colleagues, Ed Schultz and Bill Press, who have really...
Hi, Ed. Hi, Bill.
Who have really...
I love you.
...taken the president to task and saying that the president caved on this.
I say la, 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 la. I only listen to Randy Rhoads. La, 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 la. I'm going to France after the show. That's what I say.
I say we wait and hear what he has to say.
Yeah,
I
thank
mean,
you,
if
Carl
the whole
Frisch.
Thing, if the
oh,
whole thing...
Oh, you just almost knocked...
Knocked the
Tzatziki
into the
next election cycle.
Would not have been pretty. if the president comes out and is far more aggressive, which is what everybody thinks he's going to be doing, more power to him, and I think that's a good thing. And I think you're going to see his poll numbers rebound because of that.
Well, and, you know, honestly, I think, as Jake Carney said yesterday, it probably would have benefited the Republicans more to respond. He said move the debate an hour later, you can respond to what the but this way, you know, I think it's going to it will benefit him, the compare and contrast.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
you know, you're going to hear more of the same from all the Republican candidates, and then, you know, he's going to have an actual jobs plan and not just cut taxes on the rich. And
you get to see the sideshow and then the main attraction.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. They're opening for him, so there. And I'm sure his is a lot bigger, for God's sakes. I've mentioned it before, that John Boehner, you know, I'm just hoping he's not tweeting pictures of that to anybody. Just saying, somewhere is like, who sent me a picture of a tiny Cheeto?
Yeah, I don't think that hue of orange registers on phones.
No,
no,
exactly.
No, not at all.
Exactly.
Oof.
All right. I don't know how I dotted off into that, but I did.
Well,
all right.
It's your day before your vacation.
Again, all right, well, I want to know, we're going to talk to David Bender next, and all y'alls, as they say in the South, I'm just saying, how do you, to me, it's not a big deal. We need a jobs program. He's going to give the speech. It's like, you know, he could have made a bigger deal of it and said, no, I'm the president and I'm doing it.
I agree with you.
What's the point?
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Exactly. Why bash the president over that? I love you, Ed. I love you, Bill. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back as we return to Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming this fall on Fox, a new reality show. Who wants to marry
Stephanie Miller?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. The lovely and talented Carl Frisch live in studio with us here in L.A. all 3 hours. by the way, John Fuglesang fills in tomorrow, and Elaine Boozler will be live in studio with him in New York.
Yes.
I want to have Auntie Elaine back, too. I miss her.
We will have her on.
This show's much better when I'm not here. I highly recommend it.
It kind of is.
John.
I'm kidding.
The Mooks will be here tomorrow with John, and then John will be in for all of us all next week. Oh, except Labor Day. Monday, we will have a fabulous best of.
It's going to be the best of with Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black. So if you missed that one.
The stuff of legend.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the people that works on our affiliate team loved that so much that she ordered it from the engineering and listened to it again and again. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You are a geek.
So if you missed it the first time, it's highly recommended you tune in on Monday
it was,
morning.
She brought, speaking of Dishes to Pass, she brought Lewis Black as a surprise dish to pass. And we were like, oh, well, isn't that quite something? Those are our favorite days in the hammock, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, just, great. I'm putting my feet up.
We'll just wind them up and let them go.
Two of the best comedians in the country are here. I'll be in the hammock. All right. And speaking of the best in the country, oh, my God, it's that time. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay. David Bender.
From ProgressiveVoices.com, he's a man and an app.
Yes. I am an app.
Hello.
Au revoir, mon chéri.
Bonjour.
Oh, à tout à l'heure. Now, did your brother really call French people sissy socialists?
Yes, indeed he did.
Indeed he did.
Yes, he did.
Well, I'm proud to be a sissy socialist.
Exactly. And I just when you thought I couldn't get more French and gay, I'm going to Paris today.
There you go.
All right. So, David Bender, you probably heard Carl and I talking already. This is the time to go on vacation. I cannot take any more of these right-wing weeds. Seriously.
Well, Carl's already on vacation. He's the smart one here.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry. What was that?
He's not paying attention. Hey, that's Jim's job to show up and not pay attention. Stop that. He'll be here in a few minutes. Anyway, but Dave, what's your take on it?
Well, you know, I'm not going to be a skunk at the garden party, Bill Press and Ed Schultz, but I do wonder about the you know, sort of optics of picking a fight that you know you're not going to win. This isn't even John Boehner now.
Yeah.
They needed a unanimous consent resolution from the Congress to be able to do this. And Ron Paul, our friend, our buddy, our pal, Ron Paul, said
yes.
He would object. So any member of Congress could simply say, you know, if I can't be there, this can't happen.
What? Right. I mean, David, pick your analogies. You know, this is pick your fights. This is not the hill I'm going to die on. I mean, it's like,
right.
To me, again, the president is just the adult in the room. He's like, fine.
If you're an adult in a room full of children, it's the Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're gonna get eaten by the kids.
I just feel like we should be telling them sucks to your asthma, Piggy, because I'm sick and tired of them.
Yeah. There you go.
It's like Chuck E. Cheese on crack, that the congressional Republican delegation.
What if they gave a joint session of Congress and only the Democrats came? What would happen? What would the message be if the Republicans did not show up? At a certain point, here's Carl has written a great piece, and let me send people to carlfrisch.com. It's a great piece on how the Republicans are a disaster around disasters.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to Carl's piece in a bit, but you're exactly right, David. This is just more of the same, holding the debt ceiling hostage, holding disaster relief hostage.
Eric Cantor saying, you know, we will pay for Vermont or New Jersey or Virginia. If you find savings somewhere else, which, of course, they never do when it's Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or anything else. Now, here's what I want to see happen. If we're talking about whose is bigger, the President of the United States, who has been working with Bob McConnell in Virginia, been working with Chris Christie in New Jersey, working with these Republican governors who say, yeah, the federal government's been great, and then attack Barack Obama almost in the same breath.
Yeah.
But they're taking the support, they're taking the help, they're taking the money. Here's what I want. I want the White House to say, we will release your emergency money, but Governor, you need to come to the White House and I will hand you the check.
Yeah, take a nice big picture.
One of those big checks.
Yeah, big giant check.
How about that?
Yeah.
and then let's see them say, I never took the money. Try that, Rick Perry, when you're talking about the jobs you created in Texas. Take the check in public instead of taking it quietly and then blasting the people who gave it to you.
Yeah.
That's a move I'd like to see this president engage in.
But, and here's the other thing, David, I noticed yesterday. I thought, boy, the only Republicans that get to act like adults in the room are the ones that aren't running, like Chris Christie, that need the help and realize this is ridiculous to be playing politics and, you know.
Yeah, although I've got to tell you, wait a week, wait 2 weeks, and Chris Christie will still find a way to say the federal government has, you know, is a mess. It's, you know, they'll all get on the same page.
Well, he's just waiting to find some space to land that helicopter.
There it is. There it is. Wait for it.
You know what I think Obama should do? I think Obama should get this joint session, make sure everybody's in the building, and then he should walk up there and lock the door shut. And tell them, okay, now you're all in the same building, get to work.
Yeah.
No more vacations.
Yeah. Just go, I'm not kidding. This is not just a speech. No, the doors are locked.
No,
and we're going to do what I just said.
He doesn't even go in. He just chains the door shut with all those fools in there.
Hey, Carl, isn't that a Buñuel film?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, where'd you steal that from? So what do you think we're going to hear, David? I mean, obviously, some stuff is leaking out about what the president may say.
Well, I think he's going to throw down the gauntlet, but he is, again, using rhetoric, saying it's going to be a bipartisan approach, and we've seen where that goes. If you start with some of the things the tax cutting incentives, some of the things that the Republicans claim they're for, they will turn and be against things that they've been for. So, I would wish, I would hope that he says flat out, you people, he looks at them and says, all of you have a responsibility, not just me. I'm going to propose, but you are the ones who have this responsibility. And I'm going to hold you accountable, and the American people are going to hold you accountable.
Yeah, well, that's why, like I say, I don't care. To me, this is just, talk radio and cable news chatter. Oh, the president caved, or did he? You know, it's like the president looks, once again, like the adult.
It's time to stop the political gamesmanship that can actually cost us hundreds of thousands
of
jobs.
That's the main thing Americans are concerned about, jobs, right? I mean, it makes a friggin' difference what night he gives his speech.
They don't
right?
even know that this happened.
Yeah,
most
exactly.
don't have any clue that this happened.
They don't know that it happened, but the problem is it over time.
Sure.
The perception that the president will give and give and give, and we saw it on the debt ceiling. It is wrong and strong versus weak and right, and that's what concerns me is going into this election right now. I don't care because, frankly, nothing is going to pass this Congress.
Right.
Nothing will pass this Congress in an election year. So the question is, where do you draw the line? And you ought to draw the line in the sand where you want it to be, not where you think hypothetically you can pass something because nothing is going to pass.
But I don't, it's not for me to speak to what the perception is instantly today with the American people, but I mean, I look at Carl's piece, the Republican Party is a disaster when it comes to disasters. I don't think the American people, I think they think the Republicans are being jerks. I mean, this isn't who we are as Americans.
Well, the only people polling worse than anybody else in Washington are Republicans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true, but the president's approval rating on the economy continues to go down, and that's what this election is going to be decided on.
And I think that's why he has to be more aggressive.
Absolutely.
If and when he's more aggressive, and if this speech is what it's shaping up to be, I think you'll see a lot of progressives coming home. I just don't think that there's a segment of the progressive community that doesn't feel like he's been fighting, and if they see him fighting, they'll come right home.
And David, what do you think in terms of politically how it plays that he's going the night after the Republicans rather than Republicans getting to respond to him? It may be smart, right?
They are going to respond to him without knowing what he says.
Yeah, they'll hate the speech that they know he's going to give.
They're going to hate the speech that they've not read and don't know. And and that you can count on. It wouldn't matter what sequence it's in. It's, that's the reality TV. But do I think he will have, he's going to pretend that they don't exist.
I think they're just idiots down the line, honestly. I think Jay Carney gave them a good move. Debate back an hour, then it's almost like you get equal time and a response to the president. But, no, they had a...
No. They wanted to do exactly what they did. And here, at the end of the day, you're right. This isn't going to matter because this particular skirmish will last for about, you know, a nanosecond.
Well, and let me just say, good. Let's watch these, you know, ridiculous Republicans like Bachman and Perry and all these lunatic fringe rights candidates squabble among themselves, and then let's watch the president be presidential.
There's not a
single
person on that stage, save for maybe Huntsman, that you could picture as president of the United States, especially opposite Barack Obama.
It's going to be my American president moment. Just for me, David, I don't know what the chances are, but I just want the president to look in the camera and go, I'm Andrew Shepard, and I am president. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it would confuse people.
Is joining the debate. By the way, George Clooney just this morning took himself out of running.
Oh,
damn.
Just in case you were wondering and waiting, here's what is disturbing about this. Yes, they are crazy. They are, I will say bat, and you will hit the beep button. They are bat crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Rick Perry's numbers are growing every day. He hits all of the boxes in this Republican Party. He has never lost an election. And head to head, if the economy does not recover, here's the problem. Dick Cheney in the memoir is saying he was unalterably opposed to the helping General Motors. General Motors would have gone under if Dick Cheney had his way.
Right. Yep.
The problem is the president saved the auto industry and nobody knows it. Nobody gives him credit.
Yeah.
And more to the point, he doesn't take credit for
it. Well, and I was mentioning an LA Times piece last week, David, that literally the headline was the car companies may be what pulls us out of the recession.
Right. But if the president says that before the joint session of Congress, that would be a good thing, because it's time to remind the American people that the jobs that they do have, and many of them that were going away, he saved.
Right.
And that is not the perception. It is the reality. And unfortunately, until it becomes the perception, it doesn't matter what's true. And that's where we are right now. It is not inconceivable. And Carl, I'm sitting here remembering that 8 years ago, we were on the Sleepless Summer Tour with Howard Dean. 8 years ago right now. Isn't that right?
Ah, yes.
Yes.
And there was a man there. Thank you.
It's so never gets old
again. 8 years ago, here was a guy who was speaking truth to power. As a matter of fact, what he kept saying everywhere he went is, "You have the power," and that's what this president needs to say, not to the Congress, because they don't. They're not going to get anything done. They have no power to move a single bill. They are completely paralyzed. The power's with the American people. And if the president is Andrew Shepard and he uses the bully pulpit effectively from this point forward, and resets come this speech, then there is a chance that he can lead. And it will not matter what happens in Congress. It will matter what happens away from Washington. And that's the opportunity that the president has.
You know what? I would pay almost any amount of money for someone named Bob Rumson to get into the Republican field right before the debate next week.
Oh, my God.
Richard Dreyfuss on line two.
You need to load that movie into your iPad and watch it on the plane going over.
All right. David Bender, I love you, honey.
I love you.
Au revoir.
Fly safely.
All right. Thank you. Merci.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say merci.
Bonne nuit.
Anyway. I'll screw it up anyway.
Yeah, you will.
All right. Lots of folks want to chime in.
Languages. I don't know what's going on here.
Franglish.
All right.
A lot of folks want to chime in on this. I don't know what you call it. Fight something between the boner and the president as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bum, bum, bum. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. Did I forget to mention that Valerie Plame is going to be on the show today?
What? Holy cow.
How did I forget that?
Yeah, that's an okay guess.
She has a couple of thoughts on the Dick Cheney book, I'm told.
Why ever would she have thoughts on the Dick Cheney book?
She has some thoughts she'd like to share in hour number three
today. About the foreword to the book is written by Penguin from Batman 2.
Really? I did not know that. Thank you, Carl Frisch. Carl Frisch live all 3 hours today.
Yay!
What a show. It's a festive bon voyage show.
Yes, it's a present to you for your going away.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, I got the answer. My flight today, L.A. to Paris, 11 and a half hours. 11 and a half hours.
Ooh.
Give your box wine.
And I'm chatty, as you know. I'm a talk show host, so whoever's sitting next to me, it'll be like the scene in Airplane. Just be lining up with planks. And
yeah. Maybe the gate agent will be a fan of yours, and you will get upgraded.
Upgraded once again from steerage, where I normally am. Okay. Tony in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tony.
Hey, girl. I just called to say I hope you have a great trip.
Oh,
and, honey, I turn 50 in June. We are fine as frog hair. Don't forget it.
Fine as frog hair?
That's what I'm talking about.
And from now on, I'm going to have anniversaries because I'm going to be 49 probably for the next 10 years.
Yes.
Or so. So
yes.
That's how you do it. But anyway, I just wanted to say I am like you. I'm so sick of these people. But you know what? He's got to play it because if they talked about the lettuce he ate, for God's sake, one iota of him being a little bit mad, he's going to be a gangster and a thug and an angry black man in the White House.
With a hip-hop birthday party.
In fact, Tony, these guys, you can confirm this, and on Ustream, I am actually, just to piss the right wing off even more, I'm actually eating arugula this morning. I'm gay, and I'm going to France. So there.
Didn't you rent a Volvo just to drive to work today?
Okay, and I was just going to say, too, you know, if people, can't they see that he's just building up the Republicans? They're just playing right into being an ass, because what else can you call them at this point? You know what I mean? And but, you know, I do have mental orgasms thinking about, wouldn't you just like one day for him to walk up to that podium, hold his stuff, and say, you know what? I'm a bust a cap in all of y'all ass if you don't get it together. I just dream of a day like that.
Tony, I share your dream. I share your dream, and I would share your orgasm. All right. Okay? I love you, Tony. All right, you too. Right.
That call is finer than a frog hair.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. In fact, you know what? You got to watch while Mama's away. The History Network is doing Targeting Bin Laden.
Yep.
Have you heard of this documentary? And I'm telling you, it's just another example of how, I'm sorry, I think this is just a great president and the way he handled this and the call he made there. Once again, he was the adult in the room.
I understand it opens up by saying, for the first 6 years, they did nothing to try and find him. Then in 2008, they elected a new president.
They disbanded the Bin Laden unit, in fact.
Yeah.
And then were shocked when they couldn't find him. I love this. A new documentary reveals that a last-minute double check of intelligence before the raid that killed Bin Laden last spring cast fresh doubt on whether he was actually in the compound, which, as I recall, was in Abbottabad, which is our favorite thing to say.
Abbottabad. Abbottabad.
Okay. The only reason I brought this up. Okay, in the History Network and its Targeting Bin Laden special that airs next Tuesday, said President Obama convened a special red team of terrorism experts to take a fresh look at the evidence. The team had greater doubt that Bin Laden was in the
Abbottabad
home, primarily because they didn't believe he would take the risk of having as many visitors as he did.
Hmm.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? Ding dong, dominoes again.
He had some videos he wanted people to watch.
Yeah.
She's remarkable. Come look.
He had a lot of visitors, had to bring him fresh porn, apparently.
Yeah.
Damn it! Fresh. I said, where is Debbie Does the bottom up?
There was some gay porn in there, too, if I remember correctly, wasn't there?
Despite the new assessment, Obama ordered the mission to proceed. The red team, their assessment of initially deflated policymakers, only half of those planning the raid advised Obama to proceed. The room was like split after this. At the end of the day, only the president can weigh those risks. Said one of the people involved, only the president can ask what's in the nation's interest, what are the risks worth running here, what will we accomplish if this works, how will I deal with it if it doesn't work. It was a quintessential presidential decision, and he made the right one, obviously. And it was risky, and it was gutsy, and so I, you know what? I'd rather have a gutsy president that killed Bin Laden
and, you know,
than made a point of going, oh, no, I'm giving my speech the day I want.
When he announced it, I was just like, you know what? Thank you, George Bush.
That's exactly what I thought. Mm-hmm. Rita in Monterey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rita. Hey, Rita.
Hey.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Yes. I just, first of all, I have to say, I don't want to tell Tony she's a youngster. I'm 65.
Okay. Well, she's a youngster. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's a youngster. As far as Boehner, the president doing anything with Boehner there,
yeah.
He is. Yeah, he first of all, he had to pay attention as to when the Republicans were going to debate. I don't think he was. It was the first day back for Congress, and he wanted to address them on the first day. He wasn't even paying attention.
Right, Rita. And as Jay Carney said, I mean, they have a lot of these Republican debates. He's the president of the United States. They're not looking at, like, oh, yeah, let's do this to play politics.
Have you seen these
candidates? And the fact that he moved it proves he was not playing politics with it in the first place. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we continue live with Carl Frisch in studio. Woo-hoo! On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mandu, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm going to be obnoxious and French all day. I'm going to France after the show. Pardon me?
Obnoxiously bad French.
Thank you. No, Lavender Pitt is going to help me, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show from Tucson, Arizona.
Ah bon?
Hello!
On parle français là-bas?
Bonjour, maman. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
J'espère que vous avez un bon vacances et quand vous retournez, donnez-moi un grand cadeau.
A big, yeah.
Oh.
A big present when you get back.
How do you say no?
No.
No.
So at least your French is that good. Good, I'm glad.
You know, that's how you say no in Spanish. No.
No, it's no in French.
Be careful speaking French to the taxi drivers, though, because if you get it wrong, they'll correct you and leer at your breath.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Awesome. I don't do mine.
And drive you to Lyon or someplace. Where you
what's really
go.
Fun is ask them to take you to the Bastille. They'll like that.
It doesn't exist, that's why.
Yeah.
It's a metro stop.
I got it. Yeah. I got it. All right, I'll just say, can you take me to the Champs-Élysées Boulevard? I'll try that.
I'll enjoy that. Have a great vacation.
All right, thanks, honey. All right.
My little sister's a roller derby girl.
Pardon me?
My little sister's a roller derby girl.
Get out of town, Carl Frisch.
With the L.A., what someone calls it, and her name is Cherry Poppins.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding.
That is so magical.
That's a porn star's name, actually.
There is a Cherry Poppins name.
Yeah, I bet there is.
Well, fortunately for her, they have a registry of roller derby names, and there's only one roller derby name per person, but they don't cross-index that with the industry.
Wowee.
That
all
was
right.
Lavender Pitt from the Tucson team.
Tucson, yeah, from the Tucson roller derby, what you call it. Wow, Carl Frisch has just got a little fun fact for everything. Check it out. All right.
Qu'est-ce que c'est roller derby?
Yeah.
Je ne connais pas.
Speaking of mama traveling, kids, hey, by the by, get Howard Dean ready since we had David Bender, his strategist, and we have Carl Frisch, who was also a Howard Dean strategist, because we've got a big schedule coming up. East Lansing, September 17th, Asheville, September 24th, then Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Austin, Buffalo, Fort Lauderdale, Denver, Portland. Oh, my God, we've already added two more. There's going to be two more big I just saw that. There's two more big announcements tomorrow with John Fugel's thing. Yikes. All right. Yikes.
You almost read them, didn't you?
I looked at it and I said, I said, where? Oh,
Harry?
No.
Tucumcari, New Mexico. Sorry, I had to say it.
Tucumcari,
New Mexico.
No, that's
buy your tickets
that's,
online.
That's incorrect.
Carl
Frisch is giving out incorrect information. All right, I am going on a drunken bike trip. It's a wine tasting bike trip, and so we have to do drunk stack, because this is, and she also meets future wife stack. Massachusetts woman faces DUI charge after beer pours out of her glove compartment.
Hey.
Yeah, they cops notoriously. Not a good sense of humor about that. A woman was arrested on drunk driving charges for the second time in 6 months after an officer noticed beer pouring out of the glove compartment of her car. The woman said the beer was a gift from a friend for completing a court-ordered alcohol treatment program after her first arrest.
Shouldn't the beer have been in some kind of container of some kind?
It was.
Besides
it was
the glove compartment?
Yeah.
She said she shoved it in the glove box when she saw the blue flashing lights. So, see?
Officer, I was holding on to it as I was driving.
In a panic, when I saw your light, I smashed it into the glove compartment. Oh, dear.
At least she gets to take the second class.
Oh, Lindsay.
All right. And it's another edition of ThisIsWhyI'mGay.com. Man arrested for humping inflatable pool raft in alleyway.
That's illegal?
In an alley, it's illegal.
Oh, okay.
Better hope there's not video cameras near your house. A man in Hamilton, Ohio, was arrested Sunday when he got caught humping a pink plastic pool raft in an alleyway behind a dumpster.
A pink pool raft?
Yes.
That's a felony offense.
Well, you know, marriage in New York, marriage equality...
See what happens?
This is Rick Santorum's wet dream. He's like,
I hope he
really
brings it up in the debate next week.
I could talk about inflatable pool rafts in human beings?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Soon, men will be pink pool rafts. Did I say? This also was not Edwin Tobergata's first arrest for the same offense.
Oh, my gosh.
I love this hooker story. Okay. The owner of the raft spotted him making his amorous intentions and yelled at him to stop. Toberta fled with his new bride, hoping to elope. The cops eventually found him at his house, and they arrested him for the fifth time for doing similar things. I guess when there's a crazy guy who humps in town, everyone knows where to find him.
Well, wouldn't put those convenient cup holders in those things.
Sure. Carl.
They're asking for it.
Carl Louise. She wanted it, clearly.
Yeah. When you dress
like them like that. When you dress with your cup holder wide open. What do you expect? The man's grandmother said he has a lot of mental problems and he's always had a fascination for plastic.
Oh. Got one more for you, Benjamin.
Fascination for plastic.
All right. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the president's speech. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm not too worried about the president's approval rating right now, because when the elections roll around, one or two things is going to happen. People who are progressive, they're going to say, Oh, I forgot about that. You know, when all the cards are on the table, they're going to either say, oh, I forgot about that. Wow, that's bad. Or they're going to say, oh, my God, the Republicans did what? And see, people aren't listening right now. They're watching, like Jim says, celebrities eat bugs. But when the elections roll around, all the cards will be on the table.
You know what I hope the president does, Brian, in the speech? I hope that he takes his shoes and socks off and holds his feet up to the camera and goes, look at that, Ed Schultz and Bill Press. My feet are burned to a crisp. Okay, I get it. You've been holding my feet to the fire.
Oh, okay.
But you know what, though? On Ed Schultz, though, his show yesterday, now, Rebecca told me to be careful about this. But on his show yesterday, he was knocking Al Franken for blocking that telecom merger. Okay? But the thing behind the whole telecom merger is they would get too big.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think Ed really didn't have enough information when he started the show, because by the end of the show, he kind of had changed his tune a little bit. But I'm not too worried about somebody like Ed Schultz or Bill Price.
Well, Ed, look, Ed's a passionate guy, and I sometimes agree with him, I sometimes don't, but
And the reason that he's in favor of the merger is because big labor is in favor of the merger, because it'll increase the number of unionized cell phone company employees.
But I can see Al Franken's point of view as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now the person that I'm really concerned about is Alex Bennett. This guy was telling people that their votes don't count this morning.
Hey.
So that is the scariest part right there.
Well, no, we had Ari Berman on yesterday, and you should read his piece in Rolling Stone, because I think it is better to know, and particularly this far out in advance, to combat this stuff legally or otherwise. Right. But the last thing you want to do is make that dampen your, enthusiasm to get out and vote.
Exactly. Hey, have a nice trip, Mama, and I really enjoy the show. Mm. You guys are awesome. You guys keep my day going.
Oh,
you have no idea.
Voulez-vous que je sois avec moi? All right. Je t'aime.
Gaga. That's French, right?
Oh, stop it, Carl Frisch. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Yay, here we go. Okay. Oh, boy. Glenn Beck, must we? I guess we must.
I told you over a year ago that the only thing this president would have left in the end was race.
That's all he would have. Mm-hmm. And they would do everything they could to start race riots because it's what the Weather Underground said they wanted. What? And if you look at this agenda of this administration, it's damn near identical to the plan laid out by the Weather Underground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? Come on. Mm-hmm.
What? Well, he did bomb Libya, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. So there's a okay.
Glenn Beck is really a prophet.
Yeah, he really
told us
is.
A year ago.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Rush Limbaugh. Boy, it's kind of becoming a crazy racist right wing world lately, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Here's Rush Limbaugh in one of his callers.
They realized that it was easier to pull blacks and minorities down with promises of welfare and food stamps than it was to push them down with things like fire.
I think you are exactly right. it's been easier to keep them on the plantation with a bunch of welfare and breaking up their families than it was to use violence.
I see. So the civil rights movement was really slavery.
Yes.
Do prefer violence.
How is this breaking up families? I must have missed that part in there.
What?
Wow. Wow, that's like just a little circle jerk that Rush has with his caller.
Exactly right. You are as brilliant as I am, sir.
How do you do this without doing it full time?
Oh my goodness, this is just
wow. Okay. Oh God, you're just wanting to make me leave, aren't you?
Yes.
You really?
No. Chew.
If I wasn't already going on vacation, I'm going earlier now.
Uh-oh.
Must you, Dick Cheney? Okay.
But I think that what happened in Iraq and the fact that we brought democracy, if you will. And freedom to Iraq, I think, clearly has had a ripple effect in some of those other countries.
Oh, yeah. Right. Please.
No, what we did was empower the Shia, who were the real crazies.
It destabilized the region.
Caused the murder of God knows how many tens of thousands of people.
See what our illegal, unnecessary war spawned? I'm going to take credit for all of it.
Chris Hayes was saying on MSNBC the other day when he was on Martin Bashir's show, he said, you know, what would it take for a war criminal to not be considered polite company in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. We'll ask Valerie Plame that in about an hour. See if she has any thoughts. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
Sean Hannity and Dick...
Do you think, is it fair to say that President Obama has a pre-9/11 mentality?
Oh, come on.
Is that a fair statement?
That's what I thought at the time. I don't know whether or not it's been changed.
Mm.
Yeah, you people
okay.
had a pre-9/11 mentality.
Yeah, didn't you?
You were planning it.
9/11 happened on your watch! Oh, this is just, it really is, it's pineapple upside down world.
At least there's a post-9/11 now that Bin Laden's gone.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Thank you, President Obama.
Thank you. All right. I need to pause. I'm sorry. I'm winded. 17 minutes after the hour, a skosh more right-wing world as we continue. Carl Fish live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies live in studio with us all 3 hours. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we continue. Right wing world. Brian Kilmeade still has a radio show?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's called Kilmeade and Friends because you know that TV show that he's on.
Oh.
Yeah.
It must be great. Okay. With Bill Hemmer.
When you have a very professorial president like President Obama, I think it opens the doors for someone like Rick Perry, who seems like the guy next
door.
Listen,
it's like fashion, you know. If white is cool, you know, this season, black's going to be cool next season. If high jeans are cool, this.
Right.
Your low-cut jeans are... I mean, we always go for opposites. I agree with
right.
you.
Mm.
Look, Rick Perry is setting himself up to be the cheerleader-in-chief, which I think America needs, frankly. Mm.
So yeah.
Paisley bell-bottoms are coming back?
Yes, that's what he's saying. And
he
vote for the dumb cheerleader guy again, rather than the smart guy.
He's the guy next door that lives in his parents' basement that just is a little off and never able to move out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Tucker Carlson on the Fox News to finish up.
In the end, he's conservative enough, I think, though, for the Republican
Perry.
Primary electorate. The idea that his claim that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme is somehow an example of extremism, it is a Ponzi scheme. That's the thing. And I guess, no, but they, literally, it meets the technical definition of the term Ponzi scheme.
But we can fix it.
Oh, that's funny. The people that are living
Tucker's
on Social Security.
Career is a Ponzi scheme, if you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you think about it.
The only networks he has left to get canceled from are Fox Business.
Yeah.
And
that's hard, because what would you base that on? There's no one watching anyway.
He
so.
Might need a new vampire series on the CW or something.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Boy. Okay, speaking of the Fox News, isn't just pure comedy just the chyrons sometimes, just the way they... You know, they just subliminally, just, you know, the chyron is White House argued it, in quotes, inherited a bad economy. Just air quotes.
Well, that's not something they can verify.
Yes, well,
are
actually,
there numbers
yes.
that can back
yes,
something
Fox
like that
News
up?
Yes, Fox News Channel has an interesting approach to questioning how bad the economy was when President Obama took office. Between the 2008 election and Obama's inauguration, the economy, for instance, Carl, lost 2 million jobs. Economists at the Bureau of Economic Analysis recently reported the economy shrunk by 8.9% during the third quarter of 2008, the fastest rate of contraction in 50 years. Not really up for debate whether Obama inherited a bad economy.
Is that on the internet?
Except at Fox News. Except at Fox News.
Is that on the internet? I don't know how they could find something like that. Research, please.
Bitch, please. All right. By the way, I love the far-right bloggers almost more entertaining than Fox News.
Because they don't hide their racism?
Yes! This one isn't actually racist, just crazy. LA Times blogger Andrew Malcolm, he made a bizarre allegation. He's saying Obama is telling Americans how to observe 9/11. He's referring to a New York Times report about the Obama administration's detailed guidelines to government officials. That'd be to government officials, not to the American people, on how to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Government, like, you know, diplomatic employees, representatives of the U.S. government, not regular American citizens marking it with their families. Yet Malcolm frames the story as a bizarre tale of big government intrusion into the lives of ordinary Americans. Again, here we go. Callously playing off emotions stirred by 9/11 to gin up anger at Obama, knowing full well that what he was alleging was completely false in every way.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
Doesn't matter what he says or does, the president. Well, look, he's trying to tell us what to do.
They don't have real jobs anyways. They have government jobs.
Yeah.
Speaking of much, would you love some fun facts about Rick Perry's Texas Miracle? Trademark, yeah. Governor Goodhair. His jobs miracle from 2009 to 2010, Texas had the largest growth in state and local government jobs. So that's what has been pointed out. Not only a lot of these minimum wage jobs, they're government jobs. Government.
They actually lost private sector jobs.
Gosh, if he'd gotten his wish and seceded, he wouldn't have been able to, because they wouldn't have been part of the government. So we'd be able to get any of those government jobs, wouldn't they?
Yes, I am.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has built the early stages of his presidential campaign on the, you know, Texas Miracle trademark right here. Perry often says is responsible for 40% of the net new jobs created in America since June 2009. The miracle, no miracle at all. Texas has the nation's worst job creation record when adjusted for labor force growth. But Republican voters have lapped up the message, pushing Perry, of course, double-digit leads in the polls. But at a time when federal, state, and local governments continue to shed jobs, more than 500,000 since Obama took office in 2009, a bulk of the job creation in Texas has come in the public sector. While Perry espouses small government rhetoric, the Texas miracle created state and local government jobs at a faster rate than any state in the nation, according to the 2010 census data.
Well, it's more like it's the miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, they're entirely
both,
different miracle.
They're both fairy tales with fictional lead characters.
All right. Meanwhile, back in the real world, the president getting ready for his speech next week.
Today, I'm directing certain federal agencies to identify high-priority infrastructure projects that can put people back to work.
But by the way, he mentioned this the other day. I think I love this idea, Carl. I don't know what you think. A national infrastructure bank that would entice private investors into road and rail projects could be a major part of the jobs package that he will talk about, which, you know, could help obviously the unemployed a great bit. They haven't divulged the contents of the package, but the president has pushed the idea of an infrastructure bank in recent speeches and has praised Senate and House bills that create such government-sponsored lending institutions.
Ron Paul's head just exploded.
Yes, I know, but I thought he made a good point that what was the statistic he used, Jim? we're spending less than we did like 50 years ago or something on infrastructure in this country.
And we need about 1,000 times of that at this point because everything's falling apart.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the need is obvious. And it also, he was talking about the times now when interest rates are so low. And anyway, I'm looking forward to the speech. I'm going to watch it in France.
It's certainly an interesting approach. I mean, it's something that is very needed. I mean, in L.A. now, but in D.C., the roads are falling apart just as much as they are here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I'm going to be taking high-speed rail in France, which, boy, it'd be nice if we had some of that here, wouldn't it? I mean,
they only allow socialists on those trains.
That's me. Okay, the president.
When things are going good, then you get the credit, and when things are going tough, then you get the blame.
Yep, the president's carny talking about the president next week.
The president feels that we are at a moment when we need to take significant action to spur economic growth and to create jobs, to accelerate hiring.
Yeah, and he'll do it a day later because his is bigger, in my opinion. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Carl Furst live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're like the prettiest girl at the prom, or the sluttiest girl if you went to Catholic school.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Valerie Plame Wilson joins us in about an hour with her reaction to Dick Cheney's book. Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies is here all 3 hours live in studio.
That's right.
What are you doing on vacation here in L.A.?
Well, I have family here, and I have a friend that works for the president's reelection, and he got 5 days off, which is probably the last 5 days he'll have off before November.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah. So we're going to road trip it up to San Francisco and spend a couple days up there.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So next week, of course, Chris, because we're on vacation, there'll be lots of news breaking left. Right? We have the Republican debate on Wednesday, the president's speech on Thursday. The reporter and Jay Carney yesterday on this whole when the president's speech is going to be.
Sure. It's not like this White House doesn't know that the Republicans are trying to trump the president that night. So there's that didn't play a factor at all.
It did not. I can honestly tell you, and again, the president. This is about the president addressing the American economy.
Jim, what was your take on that? Because obviously, you know, people are like, oh, he caved. But to me, he just looks like the adult in the room again.
Well, we'll see. We'll just see what the speech has to say.
No, but I mean making a big deal about...
Still, though, I mean, they're disrespecting him. And I think when he does that sort of thing, it just encourages their disrespect. When he keeps giving them, he said, okay, all right, we'll do it your way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be interpreted as him being the adult in the room or interpreted by them as a sign of weakness.
But once again, we're for the first time, right, Carl? It's the first time in history.
Yeah.
So, a Congress has ever said no to a president on asking for a joint session.
And the president said okay.
Well,
so.
I don't think the president should have been involved in the yes or no.
Yeah, but what do you do, Jim? So what does he say? No, I'm giving the speech. I mean, that's the problem. As somebody said earlier, why are you going to pick a fight you can't win? You know, Ron Paul and others were trying to block it. That's what I'm saying. They're fighting over things that we've never... When you have Eric Cantor saying no, even his own district was hit, as you wrote about, Carl.
So
they're not. No, we're not going to give disaster relief funds until we cut somewhere else. I mean, it's just.
But they have no control over when the president makes a speech. I mean, he could have said no. He said, "Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm do whatever you want."
Right, but
just
then
not a joint session. What should have happened is when this came down.
Right, but then he looks even weaker if he does it, but not at a joint. It's like they're not going to give him.
Lowered himself to being central to the argument. I think what should have happened is if he wanted to give the speech in front of Congress and they wouldn't do it and he picks the second day, he should put every lieutenant he had out there on the stump on television talking about how this Congress was disrespectful to the president and the office of the president. The president can't do that. He's got different politics than just about anybody who's ever served in that office, because if he looks too angry, then Republicans capitalize on the race issue with their base.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Senator James Inhofe. Okay.
Do you think there's some mischief up here?
Sure. Why else would he choose 8 o'clock on Wednesday?
It was a prank. It was just, you know how the president is famous for his prank humor.
Clocks do have a liberal bias.
Yeah. Right.
And he's never had a gay or a divorce in his entire family.
Exactly. That, listen, you shake that Inhofe family tree, not one light loafer will fall out of it, apparently. All right. You know, here's the...
Actually, Inhofe is German for big gay fairy, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for that. Interesting. Okay. Here's what happens. The Republican Party is no longer the party of the Chuck Hagels of the world. When John Huntsman talks sense, he just drops farther in the polls on the Republican side.
Does anyone remember who Chuck Hagel was?
He's a former senator from Nebraska. Thanks for asking.
The irresponsible actions of my party, the Republican Party, over this was astounding. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. I think about some of the presidents we've had on my side of the aisle, Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., and go right through them, Eisenhower. They would be stunned, I think.
I make that point quite regularly.
Even more of those kind of Republicans still. I mean,
because they can't win primaries.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
They're more likely to nominate Attila the Hun. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. By the by, we were saying that it's only the Chris Christies in the world that are not running that can say anything vaguely
good
about.
Well, he doesn't even really walk.
Well.
I did say
it is nice to have a governor that can also serve as a raft. Should there be flooding in your state.
Pardon me? Is he walking in here right
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm-hmm.
I can hear that all the way from Jersey.
All right. Jenna Napolitano on Jersey.
We'll be helping you with this recovery and bringing this community back to where it was before. It will be a process. It will take some time. There's a lot of damage here.
And the Governor Chris Christie himself yesterday.
Nothing we can do to lower a river that's flooding. But what we can do is stand together after it's over to help you return your life to normal.
No, not a chance. I think that we should have some cuts to Social Security and Medicare.
Yes,
that'll fix it. If we want to pay for this thing.
Yes.
I mean, who do they think they are wanting to rebuild their lives?
Yeah, exactly. Carl Frisch has a great piece.
She's so special.
At bullfight strategies at the Republican Party is a disaster when it comes to disasters, which is very well put. I don't even know how we sort of got to this place where, particularly just after this debt crisis thing, that you're going, again, we're here already? Really? We're here already.
The Republican Party's become economic terrorists with a severe case of OCD.
Yeah.
Like, they take everything hostage at this point. It's like they don't feel right unless they've taken something hostage.
Even a television time slot.
Right.
You know.
Television time slot, disaster recovery, preparedness.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what? I may stay in France. Oh, I'm just saying. It's just weird timing.
It's like Republican hoarders.
Exactly. Exactly. Who's doing that show? Somebody. All right. The good news, Jim, this is for you. Sex star of Sinead O'Connor wants a man. She wants him now.
Well.
She's been blogging that she's in the peak of her sexual prime and is looking for a sweet, sex-starved man.
I know.
Have you seen pictures of her lately?
Specifically a guy who is older than she is, employed, and doesn't use hair gel. I think all of those fit you.
That's kind of specific.
Okay.
She adds her situation is dire and that everything must be on the menu.
Everything must go.
In fact, it's been 7 hours and 16 days.
Yes.
Since her last,
see what you did there?
Nothing compares to the guy with no hair gel.
Yes. Meaning any and all sex acts are okay with her, and women.
Okay, then.
Women will also be considered.
Alrighty.
So that's just saying. Claudia and Madison.
All those naughty Catholic girls.
Yeah. Hello, Claudia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm very, very nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Oh, golly. I'm calling, first of all, may I please be the official housekeeper of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Please.
I know what a bidet and a central vac are.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Then,
are they combined now?
Oh,
I hope not.
Oh, that would really hurt. Yeah,
he's got a lot of stuff stuck up there. Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway, my son and I, I'm calling about Chris Christie. My son and I, was as much as we've been on TV last weekend, we noticed that his podiums are absolutely huge.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's to make him look smaller.
Probably.
Well, you know what they say about the size of a man's podium.
Yeah.
Anyway, and my son. son said that it's a good thing that they're so big because he's a job creator. He's actually got somebody making them.
Yeah. There's more jobs. It's a bigger podium. That's a lot of carpenters to make a Christie podium. Is that really true? His podiums are larger than normal?
Oh, golly. When we were watching him talk about, you know, with the hurricane, I looked at my son. I said, look at the size of that thing. It's absolutely huge. Huge.
And if he was a Democrat, it'd be like Obama's teleprompter with the right wing, right? They'd say, oh, he can't speak without his giant podium. But a lot of people do that.
But she makes a good point. He is a job creator. That's like building friggin' Noah's Ark, the number of carpenters that must have taken to build that. Just one of them.
Lots of people. The matron saint of the show, Senator Barbara Boxer, has a box that she stands on.
It's
the boxer's box. And,
That didn't really sound senatorial, but right we understand what you mean.
But, she's short. Stands on a box. Mm-hmm. But I guess when you're governor, maybe that's why he takes the helicopter.
Yes.
Because they need, you know, to lug that thing around. It probably doesn't fit in a car. Mm-hmm.
See, that makes me kind of love him a little bit. Because, you know, girls, we have body image stuff. I'm just saying. The fact that he asked for bigger podiums. We look, you know, does my ass look fat next to this podium? Kind of. You know what I'm saying? He had to ask somebody.
Sure. It's not going to make him look petite.
Yeah, but can you imagine if he's standing by a normal-sized podium? He'd look like he's standing in front of, like, a toothpick.
Well, you know, he stopped working. He stopped wearing the chalk stripes on his suit because people kept on trying to start Little League games on him.
You're saying he sits around the house? Is that the...
Yes. Yes. I heard he got hit by a car on the New Jersey Turnpike. Didn't have enough gas to get around him. But, you know, these are the... Come on now, kids. Dan in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dan.
Yes, Stephanie.
Yes.
Hey, you know... Republicans, you know, I've been reading blogs, and the left has got this thing out. There's no such thing as three-dimensional chess. Well, Republicans play three-dimensional chess. I mean, look, if you make everything miserable in every way and you get people to give up on government, then the party that believes in government is going to be the one to suffer. And that's what they're at. Do you know this debt-ceiling debate? There's like 2 million government jobs being destroyed. They've already gotten us to say government jobs don't count, and all this austerity is killing jobs. That's what killed the economy.
Yep.
It's shock doctrine.
Chess, not checkers.
Well, they don't play 3D chess. They play Avatar.
Exactly.
And I hate both of them.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just don't understand why the left won't talk it. I mean, austerity. I mean, Cheney was on his way out of the Oval Office when the auto bailout was coming. He said, oh, it's Herbert Hoover time if the Republicans don't go along with this. Now he's changed his mind. You hear he's come back and said auto bailout wasn't good, but he said what needed to be said. Why aren't the left using Hoover? I mean, this is what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Republicans are doing. They're doing the Hoover thing. Austerity. Yeah. Kill the economy.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice to have the president use some historical perspective in this speech.
And well, have Naomi Klein be his press secretary.
That'd be awesome. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue Celebrity Stack and more. Carl Frisch live in studio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Qu'est-ce que ça veut dire?
Mm-hmm.
Je n'ai rien compris.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rain in Washington, D.C. Hey, Rain.
Hello.
Hey, it is raining where she is. Hi, Rain. Go ahead.
I have a little issue to pick.
Yes.
Just a little one.
Okay.
Do people... And by the way, hi, Carl.
Hello. How are you again?
I'm doing good. I've got some homebrew for you, honey.
I've been to Rain's house.
Oh, listen, I don't...
Really? With Shano and
gentlemen
Danielle.
Don't tell tales. Out of school.
I'm not a gentleman.
Oh. No, I was talking about him. All right, go ahead, Rain.
I want people to understand, and I don't know if it's been impressed enough today, that the president he wants to hold a joint session of Congress. He doesn't want to have, you know, this thing on TV. He wants to get all of Congress together, and he wants to tell them, look, get your crap together now.
Yeah.
And what happened, he can't do that unless Speaker Boehner allows a vote. So this really it's not the president's fault, and he didn't cave. I've been reading a lot of stuff out there this morning about how he caved.
Yep. I agree. That's what I've been saying all morning.
It's really infuriating to me that, you know, it seems like there's a lot of people out there who just think that, you know, he can step out of the White House and just stroll on down the National Mall Congress and be like, hey, I've got a speech I want to give.
You know, Rain, I think, the term is like small ball. It's like they're all playing small ball, and I think he's looking big picture. He's like, okay, fine, you're done with your tantrum. I'll give the job speech the next day. I'm the president, you know? I mean,
Exactly. It's one day. One day.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he can...
2 years from the Republicans to give us a jobs package.
I do have a dream, and I do hope that he walks in like the Three Stooges and just knocks Boehner and Cantor's heads together. Just, you know what I'm saying?
That would be awesome. I would pay to clean that up.
Pardon me?
So I just wanted to say, I would pay to clean that up.
Yes.
I just wanted to say hi to Carl and everybody. So.
All right. Thank you. All right, Rain. What would you like to tell us the story of what you were doing at Rain's? Sure, no.
Shano was moving to Florida.
Oh, okay. I got it.
And they had a little barbecue for him.
We're all like, it's like a sitcom, isn't it? The Stephanie Miller Show. It's all these wacky characters, and they all exist, and we've all been to each other's houses. And
there's a neighbor hanging out over the other side of the fence, and you can only see his hat.
Yeah. Do we have Tea Party Harmony, by the way, here? I understand. Speaking of family, Mike and Raleigh, who is one of the Stephanie Miller family. This was an enormous hit, apparently, on Stephanie Miller Facebook. It's a dating service that, who knew? It's very, very exciting.
Finding true right-wing love is a challenge. So that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow-minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person who's going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at teapartyharmony.com.
Thank you, Mike.
.com or .net? I don't. Let me look that up when I get home.
Huh? .nut.
Yeah, .nut.
Uh-oh. Speaking of comedy, guess what? Ricky Gervais, am I saying that right?
Gervais.
He may be hosting the Golden Globes again.
Oh, awesome.
Oops.
The only reason to watch it.
Yeah.
Yes. Viewers loved it. Ratings
as much as the next man. Unless the next man is Mel Gibson.
Apparently NBC loved it. Ratings went through the roof. The celebrities, not so much. He said that I was insulting the most privileged people on the planet. It wasn't a room full of wounded soldiers.
My favorite was at the very end of the show, he says something like, I'd like to thank Jesus, who had absolutely nothing to do with tonight.
I have to say, I found it a little awkward. I'm not a mean comic fan in general.
It's the only one you can do this at, though, because they're drinking. They're having dinner and they're drinking.
Yes. Chris, we love anything to do with Mommy Dearest, the classic.
Oh, yes.
The Faye
Dunaway. Bring me the axe!
Yeah.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
See, and I knew you would pick one of the less famous lines, but funny nonetheless. Yes. Well, actually, Chris's favorite is the Bering Wall. I don't know if you remember that one. We tend to go with the more obscure.
Tear down that bitch of a Bering Wall and put a window where it ought to be.
Yeah, anyone can go for hangers and other stuff, and, you know, why can't you give me the respect? But you know what I mean? You need to be an aficionado.
The best line is Christina Darling's line when she goes, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That was an eerie Christina Crawford. Wow.
Christopher only has two lines in the movie.
I knew there was a reason I loved Katy Perry. I love her music. It's bubbly and infectious. She has a link to Joan Crawford. Her, mother's uncle directed Mommy Dearest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just saying. What? All right. Maybe I'll go get me a French boy toy. Madonna has she's 53, you know, and her boyfriend's 24. Closer in age to her children, actually.
She's like a vampire. She's stuck with them for life.
We don't have any information on that. All right. You know what? In this economy, Carl, you need to do some stories. Because a lot of people don't have a job. Things are not good. Losing their houses. At least Steven Seagal did not break into your house armed with a tank and full riot gear.
What?
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, don't you? It's a bad day. Steven Seagal is being threatened with a lawsuit over his part in a police raid that was taped for his A&E reality show. Have you seen this thing?
Yes, it's awesome.
He's a reserve deputy sheriff.
Whatever.
Something. He was part of a team that arrived at Jesus Sanchez Lovera's house in Arizona with a tank and in full riot gear. He claims that the raid was unfounded.
That's just foreplay for him.
Yes. They believe he was raising roosters for legal cockfighting, but he says the roosters are only for show. He says his 11-month-old puppy was shot and killed during the raid, and the police also killed more than 100 of his roosters.
Jeez.
What is the point of doing a raid for rooster when you kill them yourselves? I don't understand.
Well, I just can't even imagine getting your Miranda rights from Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Barely be able to hear him.
You have the right to get your ass kicked.
What? I didn't hear what you said.
Sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
What did you say?
I have rights?
The Superficial is reporting that Kim Kardashian wants to buy back the rights to her sex tape.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Well?
Superficial saying a mystery buyer, Reed Kim Kardashian, has reportedly hired a Tennessee lawyer to purchase all rights to the Kim Kardashian sex tape from Vivid. Oh.
Is that why her wedding brought in $47 million?
Perhaps. Yeah. The buyer also wants to purchase all of the raw, unused footage, sex tape outtakes.
Ooh,
those
hello.
Must be wacky.
Bloopers, really.
Bloopers. Yeah. No. You missed again. Can I have some Masterpiece Theater music? I love the Superficial. They write, in the extremely unlikely event the private party isn't Kim or her mom because it's them, it's time we admit to ourselves a country that giving rich the rich tax breaks does absolutely jack to create jobs, but instead perpetuates situations like this. Millionaire 1, how do you like my new tiger-elephant hybrid? I call him Simon. Millionaire 2, bravo, bravo. But do feast your eyes upon this, presses remote. Millionaire 1, my word, is that the Kim Kardashian golden shower scene? Millionaire 2, I now own the entire distribution rights.
Wow.
Oh, boy. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. We return with Carl Frisch and Valerie Plame as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it this hour, brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad with GoToMyPC. Free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, enter the promo code Stephanie. So yesterday we were talking about Dick Cheney's book, and I believe we mentioned, I wonder what our friend Valerie Plame would think about all of this. And our intrepid producer Rebecca called Valerie Plame and said, Valerie, what do you think about this? Would you care to join us? And she, like magic, appears. Good morning, Valerie Plame Wilson.
Good morning. I love that little harp sound. That's like the fairy dust on, for radio.
Yes. It's always like magic when you appear. by the way, if you have not read Valerie's book, Fair Game, How a Top CIA Agent Was Betrayed by Her Own Government, you must pick it up and read it. So I can only imagine what you had your thoughts on a lot of Dick Cheney's book. Give me your first impressions.
You know, when he's doing the rounds now and he's completely unrepentant, not that we expected anything else, of course.
Yes.
I think we'd be disappointed otherwise. But what, all the stuff about the leak for the moment aside, what pains me most as a citizen of this country is that he has almost I'm not sure which is the best word, either desensitized or seeking to normalize torture.
Yeah.
As though it were a legitimate policy option. You know, we had A, B, and C. You know, option B was torture, and that's what we told the president. You know, you were,
right.
When in fact, since, you know, the Revolutionary War, torture has been considered illegal, immoral. This is not something that this country does. And by him just in his interviews, that's what I have found most repugnant of how he has portrayed this.
Well, Val, I wondered if you had the same reactions that I keep thinking. I'm like, does he keep just admitting to war crimes on television? I mean, I mean, even when Matt Lauer, you saw that, tried to nail him down and say, well, we've considered this torture when it's done to Americans. And he literally said, oh, no, that's different.
Yeah, it's that. So he actually, you know, he trips over himself, doesn't he? It's like, well, if Americans do it, it must be okay.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be, I mean, it's so twisted. His view of the world is so dark. And I just think, I live in a different country than Dick Cheney. I live in a country that thinks that is abhorrent. It is never justified. I also think that we're a great country and we can afford to look at what has happened. And that, I mean, this is blue sky because it's not going to happen with this present administration and the Holder Justice Department. But to look at what happened, these so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, again, a desensitization, let's call it torture, shall we? Mm. I think that we are a great country, though, that we can afford to look at what we've done and how we have strayed from the values that we all cherish.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I wonder. I know you were talking to Rebecca about a book called The Interrogator by Glenn Carl.
Yes.
Tell us about that quickly.
Yes. He was a former colleague of mine at the CIA. Our paths crossed briefly. And in fact, he served with Joe very briefly. Again, their paths crossed somewhere in Africa years ago. But in 2002, he was still working at the CIA. He was at headquarters. He was tapped on the shoulder. And because of his phenomenal Arabic skills, he was asked to go participate in an interrogation of a hot, you know, HVT, high value target. So he does that, and as he, it's the story of his, of this amazing journey in interrogating this prisoner. He's trying to get intelligence. He's been told, he's read the file carefully, who the analysts think this person is and what he's got. And as he continues to work with him, he realizes this is all, you know, none of this is adding up. This is not the guy we think we thought that was a high value target. And it really is, extremely candid and compelling and a very personal story of when you have government policy, as we did under the Bush administration and the enhanced interrogation techniques, what that leads to. I would recommend it to all your listeners. It's very good. And
Val, what did you think of, boy, if it could have been more terrifying, but Lawrence Wilkerson, Colin Powell's mm-hmm. chief of staff, I mean, his comments about that Cheney was essentially president, and he also said he thinks he does fear prosecution for war crimes.
Wilkerson always, I always listen when he speaks because he frames things up in ways that I hadn't. He's just very crisp and gets right to the point. And he lived through a lot of this. He said to his eternal regret, he was the one that helped Colin Powell put together his remarks before the United Nations, before we went to war with Iraq in March 2003, when Colin Powell, you know, famously talked about curveball and held up a little vial of, you know, what he claimed to be anthrax and so forth, which we now know was really based on information that was cherry-picked and manipulated to sell the war to the American people.
Yeah.
I hate to do
this to you because I like you so much. I am now going to read a line from Dick Cheney's book to you to get your reaction. He talks about the pardon, George Bush not pardoning Scooter Libby. He says, in the long term, where doing the right thing counts, George W. Bush was, in my view, making a grave error. George Bush made courageous decisions as president. To this day, I wish pardoning Scooter Libby had been one of them.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, Jack. I mean, he's just, you know, he's got a slingshot out for everyone. Talk about damning praise for your former boss. With
with the whole issue of Scooter Libby, it sounds as though he might be feeling a little bit of guilt, actually, because he knows that he threw Scooter under the bus to protect him. And apparently in the days just prior to President Obama's inauguration, Cheney was nattering at Bush, you know, you really need to pardon this Scooter. He used the phrase, you don't want to leave a soldier on the battlefield,
right,
which I found just repugnant, because for him to apply that metaphor to his own petty political maneuverings, when we really do have our servicemen and women giving the ultimate sacrifice on the battlefield.
Who didn't take five deferments,
just
right?
Go, yeah.
I know.
He is, you know, it's fun. There's no cheerleaders for Dick Cheney. He's sort of like the anti-charisma guy.
I love that he said, he writes in this part, I understood that a pardon for Libby was unlikely to be well-received in the mainstream media. Yeah, well, maybe because, I don't know, people think outing a CIA agent during wartime is treason.
Because they thought it was treasonous?
Yes.
Could that possibly be? He also, of course, he touts, you're such a serious guy, and so he's so smart on national security. Not once did he ever convey any sense of regret that a CIA covert operations officer who had been working on weapons of mass destruction had been outed. I mean, whether he wanted to play along and say, I have no idea how this happened, but that's really a bad thing, he's never said anything close to it. He has harmed our political body and how we function, and as they say, I think his, unfortunately, a lasting legacy will be scratching away a vulgarization of how this country views torture.
Yep. Valerie, I have to ask, can you and Joe watch Dick Cheney on TV, and if you do, do you throw things at the television?
His arrogance is astounding. The other line that was pulled out, of course, by the media was how when Condi Rice cheerfully sat down next to his desk and admitted he was right.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, could he be any more patronizing?
Yeah.
Could he be any more sexist?
Yeah, sexist much?
Yeah. I love the idea that he had a resignation letter prepared and in his safe. Yeah. And I was like, where's G. Gordon Liddy when you meet him?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm glad that you cleared up that you were a covert CIA agent, because I understood you were just a secretary that got people coffee from Dick Cheney.
You know, they always got that narrative. They could never quite tell. Was I so important that I could send my husband on this boondogger to Niger? Or was I really just a glorified secretary who knew nothing and it was all just a waste of time and government money? Again, on the leak, he noted how it's really a shame that, you know, the government, the taxpayers' dollars were used for this ongoing prosecution, and, you know, what a waste of time. Meanwhile, if they had simply cooperated, maybe it would have been a lot shorter and a lot less hassle for everyone, like tell the truth.
Yeah.
But again, he operates in a parallel universe that, you know, with Michelle Bachmann and Palin and others, sometimes you can make fun of them because they're some of their words and actions, you just you shake your head. But with Cheney, his power and what he has done, he's not a funny guy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have that same sense of, you know, you're ridiculous, but at least you're not going to, make policy.
Right. Valerie, it sounds like you have no sense of humor about having your entire career destroyed. apparently you just don't get it. Don't get the joke.
Joining us now, Dick Cheney. You were pumped.
I know.
Now,
yeah,
I hope,
the one.
I hope you have some tarp down in case this should make you sick. But here is Dick Cheney. I just have to get your reaction to this last one.
But I think that what happened in Iraq, and the fact that we brought democracy, if you will, and freedom to Iraq, I think clearly has had a ripple effect in some of those other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, what else can he say? I mean, we're not going to get the Bob McNamara, you know, I've made a terrible mistake in judgment upon reflection. That's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, there much was made of an article some years ago that after his quite a few, but after some heart operations, you know, his character really did change, and that is not uncommon. Those that knew him through the years have said the same thing. This is not the same Dick Cheney. That
yeah.
Just more so.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he was previously cuddly. Well,
no, I missed that. I missed yeah. that phase, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Val, I missed you. We missed you and Joe at the Sexy Liberal Show in Santa Fe. That most people were craning their necks.
You were here a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Didn't you?
And I had to keep saying Val and Joe are not here. They're out of town. Stop looking for them.
Come back and come for dinner.
We will, because that's the other thing I found out is you make a mean souffle in addition to having a number of other skills.
Yes. I do. You know, I can hardwire a nuclear weapon and
cook. Yes. It really is. And you happen to be gorgeous, and I still like you, which is just ridiculous. All right, Valerie Plame.
We like you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Give Joe a big kiss for me. The book is Fair Game: How a Top CIA Agent Was Betrayed by Her Own Government. Val, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, there she goes. Valerie Plame Wilson.
Wow.
She's awesome. Oh, she's like Aisha Tyler. Like, why do I even like these women? They have hot, smart, talented, nice. Oh, don't even have the decency to be bitches. All right.
And you know, they're hated by Dick Cheney, which is also
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, we continue live with Carl Frisch in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Producer Chris Lavoie learning the hard way to book someone fabulous like Carl Frisch live in studio all 3 hours the day before Mom came for vacation. Why? Because I'm leaving at the bottom of the hour and Carl Frisch will take over for the last half hour with the moocs.
Hey.
Ha, ha, ha.
There you go.
I have an excuse. I'm going to France after the show. Judy in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Judy.
Just a little advice. My best friend and I decided to go to Paris for a week, and we landed the day the war in Iraq broke out.
Oh, amen.
Let me tell you, Americans were really, really welcome there.
Well, Judy, by the way,
Canadian?
And Dick Cheney's book just came out, so I'm going to quickly on the way to the airport get a T-shirt made that says, I hate Dick Cheney, too.
In French.
Yes, in French.
Yeah, they stated in English very clearly, all you Americans, all you like is war. Peace off.
Yeah, I know. You know, actually, my friend told me wear an Obama pin or T-shirt or whatever. They love Obama. And I have plenty of those, so I'll probably do that.
It didn't make a difference. My girlfriend had a no war pin on, flashed it. They didn't care.
They didn't care.
You should have worn a Canadian flag.
There were 10,000 students on the left bank. We heard this. We're like, what the hell's going on? Oh, and
you're like, oh, George Bush did something dumb again. Okay. Thank you, George. Okay. By the way, Carl Frisch. Oh, sorry. I meant to do this one. A hilarious piece on bullfight strategies on the Republicans. A disaster relief. I love this headline. In 2004, Cantor opposed bill requiring disaster aid be offset with cuts elsewhere.
Huh.
Interesting. My favorite line from Carl Frisch's piece, if Eric Cantor were King Solomon, he'd cut the baby in half before even speaking to the two women claiming to be its mother.
Yes, true.
Just to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he'd probably come up with some way to profit off the baby being cut in half.
Yes.
Yeah. Pay-per-view.
Speaking of fair, 25 corporations paid more to their CEO last year than they paid in taxes. Thinks
great.
That's fair. Anybody?
CEOs?
Anybody? Yes, it's working out quite well for them.
Corporations are people.
My friend. They're
people, my friend.
Yeah.
Really big, stinky, evil people.
Can I have some comedy music, please? You know the story I'm starting to love best is this Mediaite has a story about the Sarah Palin, Christine O'Donnell Tea Party. It's a mess. It's a mess, this rally. It's just... I love it. In a momentous meeting of female Tea Party power, Sarah Palin and Christine O'Donnell will schedule to appear at the Restoring America Tea Party outside Des Moines, Iowa this weekend. So O'Donnell was invited, disinvited, then reinvited. Sarah Palin is now deciding she might not want to go either. So they're saying this is where she was supposedly going to kick off her campaign, so maybe not now. Mediaite saying those of you who have not booked your tickets to Des Moines, best hold off for a second. After waking up to an inbox full of complaints about disinviting Christine O'Donnell, the head of the Tea Party said, "We panicked. Now we're making room for her."
Oh, God.
O'Donnell humbly reaccepted their reinvitation.
Humbly.
Sarah Palin isn't feeling quite as open-minded about her friend's invitation mix-up, and this morning announced her appearance was no longer confirmed as a result of continual lying.
Lying.
I've met organizers. Oh, God, they're just such a mess. Although Bachman's plan to drill in the Everglades is very popular. Even Alan West hates it.
Yeah.
Crazy congressman, Tea Party congressman, said, "I have to tell you, she's made an incredible faux pas, and when I see her next week, I'll straighten her out."
Oh. That's French.
Oh, he's gonna go all Debbie Wasserman Schultz on her ass. That's what's going to happen there. Carl Frisch, have a good half-hour show.
Thank you.
Everybody have a good vacation next week. And we'll be back on the air September 12th. Au revoir. Bonjour, everyone.
A bientôt.
Exactly. I don't know. We'll see you soon on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wish is that the people of Bikini Bottom will stop paying any attention to the inane dribble that is constantly streaming out of
Stephanie Miller's
mouth.
Welcome back. This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and no, I'm not Stephanie. This is Carl Frisch filling in for the last 30 minutes of the show.
Sure.
I'm here with the Mooks.
Yeah, she got you to paint the fence.
Jim. Uh-huh. That's right. And look how fun this is,
yeah.
Everybody. Give us a call. We want to talk to you. 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. You know, I was at the D.C. earthquake.
Yes, you were. How was it? Well, you're a California native, right?
Right. I was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
I immediately started emailing all my friends in D.C. the scene from L.A. Story where they're going through an earthquake at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And
tables are moving all over the place, and they're just sitting there
And when it's over, they're like, oh, I think that was a 4.5.
Yeah.
And I immediately started sending emails, you know, that's a 5.6. My second grade teacher, though, would have been so disappointed. Dexter Von Frisch was barking like crazy.
Uh-huh.
Then the couch started to shake just a little bit, and then I thought a plane was going overhead.
Yeah.
Which is weird and scary in D.C. because planes don't go overhead.
Right.
And then I saw my television start to sway back and forth.
Oh.
So I grabbed my television and held it up.
Of course. You want to save the television.
And then after it was over, I was like, you know, Mrs. McConnell would be so upset that I didn't get under a doorway or underneath a table. I didn't do anything to protect myself.
Yeah.
But the TV is fine.
Yeah, the TV's great. And you know, the crazy thing about that was the epicenter of that earthquake was in Eric Cantor's district.
Absolutely.
And Eric
Message
Cantor.
From God?
Yeah, he's got his heart in the right place. he made a lot of news a couple months ago when Joplin, Missouri had those tornadoes.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, the federal government would help out because the role of the federal government to help in situations like this, but only if we could find places to cut other things.
Sure.
Of course.
At least he's consistent, because that's the same thing he said after the earthquake that was epicentered in his district.
How did the people in his district take that? Do we know?
Well, these are like the what's the matter with Kansas people.
Yeah.
They believe that, you know, they're poor now, but one day they're going to be really rich.
They'll be rewarded for their
It's never going
to
happen.
Right.
But he's in a very safe Republican district.
Okay.
I think it would take a personal scandal to take him out.
Ah.
Interesting. Yeah, right. But then he said the same thing about the hurricane, which also nailed Virginia.
Yep. Sure did. Nailed where I'm from, in, you know, Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Tell my constituents to keep their sticky hands off my chaise lounge.
Have you seen Eric Cantor's bitchface.tumblr.com?
I have not.
Oh, we'll show it to you during the break. It's hysterical.
Well, yeah, I'd love for somebody to put him in like a little Tin Man outfit, because it's like he's strolling the yellow brick roads of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He's so heartless. But he's not alone. I mean, whenever I talk about Ron Paul, I always get it from people.
Believe.
Ron
we do
Paul
too.
Said that he wanted to get rid of FEMA.
Yep.
And one of the reasons that he wanted to get rid of FEMA was that it creates too much dependence on the federal government.
Right.
You know, sometimes disasters are so big that pretty much, you know, an organization only as big as the federal government can come and help.
Exactly. Especially, what about if it's across multiple states, multiple
Absolutely.
Counties?
Absolutely. You don't want a hodgepodge, a calico quilt of different state agencies taking care of a national emergency.
No, but if you've got libertarian magic dust.
Oh, that helps everything.
That helps the calico
quilt.
You
just sprinkle it over. And, yeah. It's kind of like putting crack on your Rice Krispies.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Ron Paul, unelectable in the general election.
What?
Well, here's the other thing. He said, the quote that he said was that we need to transition out of dependency on the federal government, and thankfully for all of us, Ron Paul will be transitioning out of his dependency on the federal government very soon, since he's not running for re-election.
Right.
He has no chance in the heck of being elected president of the United States.
Right, and part of his district in Texas includes Galveston, which
right.
was completely wiped out in 1900.
The worst natural disaster ever
yep.
in the United States.
Yeah, had we had a FEMA back then, they would have been able to help quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Republican thoughts when it comes to natural disasters, pull yourself up by your bootstraps even if your boots were lost in the storm.
Yes.
Right.
And steal your neighbor's bootstraps and pull yourself up by that.
Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. And to make it even worse, on the state level, these Republicans are going even crazier. So we have forest fires again, or fires again,
yep.
wildfires in Texas. They already lost 2.5 million acres to wildfires this year.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming's a hoax.
Yeah, it's not real at all. But what is real is the state Republican legislature there, you know, under Rick Perry's thumb, during those wildfires that took 2.5 million acres, they wanted to cut funding for the agency that deals with fire prevention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they also wanted to cut funding for firefighting,
right.
which makes a lot of sense. But if you look at what they're doing in Washington, you've got people that want to get rid of the National Weather Service and give that over to corporate America.
That's insane.
And
wow.
the NOAA, which monitors our hurricanes
right.
and tsunamis. And so basically what we've been giving up.
Hurricane.
Al Gore made those up.
That should be that should not be a for-profit enterprise.
We get about
sorry.
Five. Can you imagine that? Basically, the NOAA can give us 5 to 10 days notice on a big hurricane. Can you imagine having to pay a subscription to find out if your house is going to be destroyed?
Yeah. And what do they propose for the FAA? How do they propose privatizing the FAA?
Darwinism.
Yeah. If a plane runs into you, it's your own damn fault.
Fingers crossed for a jet fighter.
Yeah,
pilot.
Exactly. Well, there's also an article lately that pilots are losing their skills because they've become so dependent on automatic functions. They don't know how to fly the plane anymore.
They're
yesterday.
Also not paid at all. I mean, a starting
right.
pilot makes about $22,000
right.
a year.
Right.
That's
and flying
person,
fly for one of those regional
flying
carriers.
400 people.
That's what you want. Unskilled, underpaid guys flying your plane.
And that's exactly what happens when corporate America is allowed to do
uh-huh.
whatever they want.
Right.
They squeeze every penny they can into profits. I mean,
that's why Wesley Sullenberger quit.
Yeah, but it was always funny watching him, Sully, go on television to talk about his heroism because they never wanted to talk about what he wanted to talk about.
Right.
You know, it's like, just smile, Sully. Just smile and tell us about how you saved all those people. Don't tell us about how hard it is for pilots.
Yeah, don't talk about the unions. No,
That's political. Don't talk political stuff. It's intrinsic to
Coming
the
up next
problem.
Is Ann Coulter, who's going to talk about her new book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
demonic.
Again,
Ann Coulter
will
tell you how to fly an airplane and ditch it in a river.
Yeah. It just shows you that there really is no conservative, too right-wing, to be polite company, and that the second you kind of start showing some liberal colors to your feathers, it's political.
Or even centrist feathers. This Republican Party is so far to the right. I mean, yeah, I hate to tell dirty secrets, but you were once a Republican.
Yeah, I experimented in my youth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
Some people did pot, and I did Republicanism, which was like being high.
But this is nothing like the Republican Party you were
a
part of.
Well, one of the reasons I switched, my last Republican campaign that I worked on was in 2000 for John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
He was not my first candidate. Mm. I ended up with him because Lamar Alexander dropped out of the race after the straw poll. And his campaign manager went to go work for McCain, so I followed along. And McCain was the supposed liberal candidate in 2000.
Right.
And I'd sit there at, you know, socializing with the staff on the campaign, on the liberals' campaign.
I remember saying in 2000, you know, if I were to vote for a Republican, McCain's my guy.
So everybody talks about that dirty South Carolina primary where George Bush just was really mean to him. The people that ran John McCain's election in South Carolina are the Quins, and they run Southern Partisan Magazine, which is a virulently racist publication.
Oh,
it was run out of the same office as our headquarters in Columbia, South Carolina. And that's who the liberal candidate is using in their campaign for president. Those people are now working for Huntsman. So when I realized that there was really no liberal that worked in Republican politics. It was time for me to go, and I also had never really had an ideology to me in terms of the issues. My politics were about me and what I was going to do to promote me. Very Republican. I guess that's a Republican ideology.
Yeah, it is.
But when I finally thought about the issues, I came down pretty squarely on the left.
Yeah. But, and here you are.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I could be filling in for Rush right now.
Right.
And my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh in high school with the little headphone cord up my sleeve to my ear.
Aww.
That's how crazy I was.
Wow.
And we look at conservatives and we think, why just don't they understand common sense? It's brainwashing.
Yeah.
It's like Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like we were saying before, the promise that if you stick with these right-wing asshat ideals, you'll be rewarded someday with millions and billions of dollars.
Right. You'll be so rich, you don't want taxes on these rich people.
Because you'll be one of them someday. Just you wait.
You'll be a job creator.
Yeah.
I love that term, job creator, because it speaks to
Frank,
so much.
It's a Frank Luntz term.
It's completely empty.
Yeah.
It's completely empty. Especially when you consider that they're not actually hiring anybody.
Yeah. Right.
They're making money hand over fist, but they're putting it all in golden parachutes and more likely to get trickled on than you are to get.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're shipping those jobs overseas as well.
Exactly.
That's what
they're job creators.
Mitt Romney did.
Michelle Bachmann this week said that she would be open to the idea of lowering the minimum wage to be more competitive with China.
Yeah, great. Stop shipping jobs overseas because we'll become a third world.
Little hands really make a good Oldsmobile.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
These people are...
We don't need child labor laws.
They can pick up those drop nuts and bolts a lot easier.
I think it's been a long time since we had childhood cases of black lung.
Right, and there's a reason for that.
It's about time we had more.
I mean, that's an industry that could use a shot in the arm.
Yeah. Also, Michelle Bachmann said that she'd bring gas down to below $2 a gallon.
How exactly?
Magic.
Yeah. Libertarian magic dust.
Yeah.
Jehovah God will come down and change the price of oil. In the last days.
Is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
If we were in the last days, don't you think she'd want to do something more with her time than run for president?
Yeah.
She's not going to win.
Well, right. This is 2006 when she
said
that.
Right, and so if we were in the last days then she has no hope of being president, ever.
Well, she didn't pick a specific date.
Right.
Okay.
Frankly, if she becomes president, I might believe her.
Yes.
We are in the last days. I know, because I have the launch codes.
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
And that'll take a lot of...
chutzpah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Michelle Bachmann.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Give us a call. We want to talk to you. 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be back after this.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi.
Welcome back. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Filling in for Stephanie for these last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I am Carl Frisch. You can find more about me at carlfrisch.com, Twitter, Facebook, etc.
The newly renovated carlfrisch.com.
That's right. It's been under construction, much like this economy. How's that for a segue?
There you go. Oof,
and you used union labor to construct
Of course.
Absolutely. Yes.
There was certainly labor involved. We've got to call Elise in Fort Lauderdale.
Hey, Elise.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, how are you? Sad to my grandma. She lives there.
Well, first I want to say I'm glad you guys are coming to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, yeah. Sexy Liberal is going to be coming to Fort Lauderdale. Just go to sexyliberal.com to find out how you can get tickets.
Yeah, awesome. I just want to make a comment. That's all. That I'm 45 years old, and I have never seen the country so divided as it is right now. I have voted in every election since I was 18. I always vote Democratic, and I just think that what's going on now is really ridiculous to what they're doing to our president, and that everybody I know, my friends, my relatives, everybody is voting for him again. And these polls that come out, I always laugh at them because I've never been polled once, and I've been voting since I was 18.
Yeah.
And I love when they come out with these polls, and it's like, oh, well, you know, these people say this, and I'm thinking to myself, I've never been polled. I also don't have a landline, so I only have a cell phone, and I always wonder where they get their poll results from. And I even had a friend who said, not only are we going to vote for Obama, but if we have to take our grandmothers with the IVs out of Century Village, we're going there to vote for him. And if it's between Obama and Rick Perry, I don't even see that there's even a choice there. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's almost like dumb versus, you know, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And that's my comment. I think you guys do a great job.
Oh,
I listen to you every day at work, even though my Republican boss sits across from me. And when he leaves the office, I immediately put on you guys.
They're not called,
appreciate it.
They're not called, at least they're not called bosses anymore. They're called job creators.
Exactly. And you know what? It's funny because I look down here, and first of all, we have the worst governor on the planet here.
Yeah, you do.
You know, so I think he's part of the Cheney Darth Vader group. Rick Scott. So you guys have a great day, and I'm going to listen to you off the air.
Thanks
a
Elise.
Lot.
Great. We've got John in Olympia, Washington.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. How are you?
I was listening to your talk about Frank Luntz and the job creators.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, really, we ought to start using Frank Luntz's playbook and start calling them what they really are, and that's the American job destroyers.
Yeah. Yeah, or job hoarders.
There you go.
Yeah, job shippers.
And when you come to Seattle, bring a jacket. It's 52 degrees this morning.
Oh.
There's no global warming.
See, because it's cold in Seattle.
I don't know the difference between weather and climate.
Oh, boy. All right.
They're both cold today.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for your call, John. Wow.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I think Frank Luntz has done more to harm not only the English language but our political dialogue than just about anybody.
Why isn't there a Democratic Frank Luntz?
I mean, we're fickle as liberals. And
yeah.
Every couple
we're
of years,
cynical. We're cynical.
We like, you know, Drew Weston 1 year.
Yeah.
There was the guy that wrote the book about something in Elephants and Donkeys like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
George Lakoff.
Right.
Plenty of people that do polling. I also think that we as liberals give Republicans and conservatives way too much credit. They're not that much better at anything than we are.
they just put on...
They are better at marching in one direction with
yeah.
the same talking points. We will never be that good because we have too many varied interests in our movement.
Mm-hmm.
When you're white, old, and fairly wealthy, it's easy to say tax cuts, less government, big wars.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be like them to win. I think we need to be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a knife fight, if a Republican stabs you, they step on your neck and break it to make sure you're dead.
If a
Democrat stabs you, they help you up and put you in the ambulance.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way we're mentally wired, I think, you know?
I think so. We've got Ken in Chicago wants to talk about Bachman.
Hey, Ken.
Yes, hey there. I just have to make a point here. If we are truly in the last days, or should I say the last days, as Michelle Bachman says, they are fighting against God. They're going to lose. The Republicans are on the wrong side of this.
Well, I would just like to watch a Republican debate where a few of them disappear.
Like get raptured?
Yeah,
right.
and see how the other ones respond. Like, what did I do wrong? Rick Perry has a secret.
That's great. Thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Ken.
Chuck in Detroit. Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Chuck? Oh, no. Hold on.
Hmm.
There. We there,
okay.
Chuck?
There we are. Chuck.
I'm there. I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's up?
Okay. I wanted to comment about the president changing his address to Congress.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think his handlers made a mistake doing that. They should have just said, we're sticking with that day. Send the leaders of both parties to the White House and just do it there, you know. And if they don't show, explain why they are not there.
Right.
Listening to the president's plan to get our economy going and get some jobs going. And the America can't wait one more damn day. They need jobs. Let's do it now.
I
no
agree.
Excuses.
I agree that we need jobs and we don't have time to wait one more day. I think the optics are a little bit different. I think if we take the politics out of this and take away the political equation of, is it better to wait a day or is it better to go? Is it better to do it on TV on your own watch? This is not really just politics. This is what the role of the presidency is. And if he wants to go and talk about something of this importance before a joint session of Congress, there's rules there.
Mm-hmm.
He can't just walk in there. That being said, I do still believe that the people out there talking on his behalf should have been bludgeoning those Republican leaders over the head with a mallet on television, on radio, in op-eds across the country. They should have been calling reporters and getting the right spin out there because he cannot do this all on his own, and I don't think anybody should expect him to get out there and say, well, they won't invite me in, and he can't complain about it, but there are plenty of people who can.
Yes, right. Surrogates.
I understand that, but the way it is, it's how it looks. It's not what it is. It's how it looks.
Sure.
And they're already saying that this is making him look weak and Boehner look strong.
Well, let's wait for the speech because I think we're I think they're probably redrafting that speech right now to be even more aggressive than it was.
Hope so.
Okay, well,
it certainly needs to be.
Well, one other point I wanted to make is I think this could be the Joe Wilson, Congressman Joe Wilson point that the Republicans are looking for because they constantly do this. So that the next day after he gives a speech, instead of talking about what the president said, they talk about somebody yelling, "You lie," or Joe Barton saying, apologizing to BP because Obama got BP to pony up money to pay for the cleanup. You know, they're talking about that. They're not talking about what the president said. So that they're looking for the diversion to steal America.
Well, I tell you what, depending on how aggressive the president gets, that can carry the day. I mean, there is enough of an undercurrent of conventional wisdom in Washington that the president has been soft, that if he goes against that grain, it's going to take the news cycle.
Yes.
Especially when you've got the Republicans that are likely to not make any news. I mean, these Republican debates that they're basically giving way to are the most boring, bland television you've ever seen. I mean, you couldn't even get Tim Pawlenty, the most boring, the guy that announced his campaign, so boring that his video was in black and white. You couldn't even get him to go after Romney in a debate. But I think, you know, the president has to get out there and be aggressive if he wants to win this thing. Mm-hmm. And not just win this thing, but bring jobs back to this country, because there's no Republicans do not want to bring jobs to this economy. It doesn't help their interests. It doesn't get them reelected.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're going to have to wait and see.
And that's what you do with both fight strategies. You help get the message out, right?
That's right. We help win the media arena, as it were.
And
you can find out
more
at carlfirst.com. This has been the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph is on vacation. Join us tomorrow. John Fugelsang. We'll be on with Elaine Boozler.
That's right.
It's going to be a good show, and the Mooks will be here, too.
Yep, we'll be here.
I'm going to go on my vacation as soon as we're done here.
Have a safe trip
up
to up the coast.
That's right.
All right.
Have a good day.
Talk to you later.